Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Came to the Netherlands looking for three wins, and three wins is what they go home with. It's probably a good thing for the host that England batted second in two of the three games after that record 498 in the first match last Friday. And after that 232-run win in beautiful conditions, England won in a weather-affected second game by six wickets under the clouds in 41 overs before the weather returned for this final game.
There goes Josh Butler. Flick, nonchalant bottom hand, and he's flicked the ball into the Amsterdam bush. The Forest to end the series much as it started with another lost ball. He's flicked it out of the ground. Josh Butler, in emphatic fashion, moves on to 86 not out. Jason Roy 101 not out. These two came together at 85 for two, and they have won the game with 19.5 overs to spare.
Well, with England dominating with a bat, I think it's pretty hard to pick a player of the series. Maybe just the England top order would be going in as a group. However, I spoke with the player of this match. It's someone we spoke to after the second match, actually. Jason Roy, who scored 101 not out. I spoke to him shortly after he was named player of the match. Well, Jason, we speak again, a century for you, and exactly how you wanted to end the series.
Yeah, nice to end the series, mate, on a high like that, and a convincing win again. And nice to see some of the bowlers come in and hit their straps like they did. Payne on his first game to get his wicket, finally, which was good for him. So, yeah, buzzing.
Must be good for morale, because he's been involved particularly in three different squads now over, you know, about a year, isn't it? Yeah. And he's not got a chance yet, so it must be really good for him going into the next few games.
Absolutely. His wife and kid were in the huddle as well, which was incredibly special, and a huge day for him, you know. He's worked extremely hard. One of the coaches said it in the meeting, how hard he's worked and how he deserves his spot in this team. So it was made up from the way he started as well. He hit his straps extremely well.
So what's next for you then? We've got two quite important games for Surrey coming up this week. Are you going to be involved in those, or are you having a bit of time off?
I'll see where I'm at tomorrow morning. We've got to be up at 6:30 for a flight. We're leaving at 6 or so in the morning for the flight. So I'll fly home, get home, assess it, give Stewie a call and have a conversation with him, because the boys are playing some incredible cricket, so I wouldn't want to go in and disrupt it too much. But we'll see.
And obviously Owen Morgan missing out today with that injury. I mean, you know, obviously we're not going to talk about his batting. We've discussed that already. But in terms of the injury concerns, obviously he had the injury in Barbados as well. Is that a concern with the World Cup coming up for him?
I think he's a very smart guy. You know, he doesn't want to push himself when he doesn't need to push himself. He knows that he's got a bit of a niggle. He was carrying that niggle in the T20 Blast. That's why he missed a few games there. So he got himself up for this series, tried it out, and it wasn't quite ready. So now he's got to get back and work hard for the next couple of weeks until our next series and see where he's at then. But every single player's got their injury concerns. I've had my fair share of them during World Cups as well. So, you know, you can't talk about age or form or anything like that. It's just a case of him just picking up an unlucky niggle.
And finally, Jamie Overton will make his debut for England in the Test match. Do you think he's gonna be up for it?
I think he'll be up for it and some, mate. He's a class player, good fella, and I'm sure he's fitted into that side beautifully. But made up for him, cannot wait to see what he's got on the international circuit.
Well, Jason, 3-0 win in this series, going home with everything you wanted when you came here, and a century for you today. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Cheers, buddy. Thanks, man.
Quite easy to forget that Jason Roy was actually playing cricket when it was announced that his teammate at Surrey, Jamie Overton, would be making his test debut in that third game against New Zealand for England. Obviously, live updates throughout the day on TalkSport for that. And you can hear the roundup of the day's play on the Following On podcast. This podcast you're listening to right now at the end of every day of the test series. Now, I also spoke with England coach Matthew Mott, who came in. This is his first series. And I started by asking him a question I already knew the answer to. Basically, you must be pretty happy with how it's all gone.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you come into a side fresh and, you know, I'd only been in the country a week, you probably sometimes think worst case scenario, and that's quite a natural thing. But to see the way the guys played this week and just about everyone got a contribution at some point is a pretty good start to summer for the white ball team. And we take a lot out of this contest.
Now, we'll ignore Jason on Friday, but in terms of the openers, Jason and Phil both been doing very well in this series. And, you know, when your openers get you off to a good start, that's quite important. So you must be happy about them.
Yeah, I am. I'm particularly happy for Jason. I think he was pretty frustrated when he missed out in that first game. And obviously seeing everyone else score runs, he worked on some things there with, you know, Carl Hopkinson, one of our assistant coaches, and, you know, they just ironed a couple of things out, and you could see him put that into play and did, you know, a couple of really dominant innings. And as you said, it does set the tone for the entire team, the way they come out and play quite fearless brand of cricket, and puts the opposition under pressure straight away.
What have you learned about your squad from these three games?
I've learned that they're a very strong-knit bunch. I think they get on really well. They look out for each other. There's a lot of warmth in the group, not just the playing group, but the support staff. So it's been an absolute pleasure to immerse myself in that. I really get a great feel about where we want to take the team. And, first impressions, it's a really strong group. We've got some really good leaders emerging. And, for me, it's exciting to be a part of.
You must be happy for David Payne. This is the third squad he's been involved in, obviously your first squad, to finally get a game and to finally get a wicket for him after basically sitting watching a lot of cricket.
Yeah, I am. I've actually seen him for a while in different quarters, and I've always been impressed with what he brings to the table. I thought he bowled exceptionally well today. Our opening partnership today was extraordinary on a great wicket to keep them to that. And then, you know, at the back end, he changes the pace, and you could see how happy everyone was for him to get that wicket and the joy on his face. And, yeah, it's a special day when you have a debutant and they come out and do well.
I feel, particularly happy for Liam Livingstone, obviously, if he hadn't got that wicket after he dropped that catch, having lost it in the sun. Luke Wood obviously left slightly earlier today so he could go and rejoin Lancashire. Will his time come?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, we obviously had 14 players here and we would love to have given everyone an opportunity at some stage, but in three games, that's quite difficult. But, as I said, we're pleased that Payne could get that run. We'll be watching Luke closely in the next week or two in his domestic stuff. But, he's certainly endeared himself to the group, the way he's conducted himself in the nets. He's done some great sessions. So whilst he didn't get any game time, it's still an opportunity to be around this team and build for the future.
It's 3 weeks till the first game against India. Obviously, Owen Morgan sat this game out with the groin injury there. Will he be captain for that match?
Oh, if he's fit, he will, absolutely. And so, I don't think it's overly serious, the niggle. I don't know a lot of details about it, but he has carried it for a little bit. And it was a smart decision not to play today. I think the other flip side is it's a great opportunity for Joss to have a go as captain, and it certainly worked out well for him personally and, for the group as well. Just to have that seamless transition, I think shows the team's in a pretty good spot.
Well, first series for England and first series win for England. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. Cheers, John.
As well as England and their new coach, Matthew Mott, learning quite a lot from this series, the Netherlands will have done as well, but they're also going to need to appoint a new captain after Peter Saylor retired through injury following that first match. He spoke with Neil Manthorpe and his former Netherlands teammate, Ryan ten Descarte, on TalkSport 2 during today's mid-innings break.
Obviously, you didn't want to retire at this stage, Peter, but have to say, you looked like you more like 84 years old after the second game rather than 34. Your back issues, a source of great sadness, but we are here to celebrate your career rather than commiserate with your premature retirement. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel all right. Obviously, still in a bit of pain, but I'm quite comfortable where I'm at. in this situation. And, you know, watching the guys go out there, there's not a lot of difference from that side right now.
Peter, I'm alongside a long-standing teammate of yours, Ryan Tendoskata, who he's been chatting about your career, which of course began 20 years ago for the Netherlands when you captained the under-15 team. So you look back, that's well over half, almost two-thirds of your life you've been playing cricket for the Netherlands.
yeah, it's been a very big part of my life. I used to be a bit of a different guy back in the day. It's been a journey that's been, you know, it's filled with a lot of good memories, both on and off the field. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's something I look back on now with a lot of pride but also a lot of joy.
Pete, it's Ryan. Firstly, congratulations, mate. You should be really proud of yourself. I know the sadness was mentioned then, and surely it's an emotional moment, but I think all you've taken away from the game and what you've done for this Dutch team has been incredible. So just from my side, very well done. I guess on the highlight side of things, I'll let you talk about it, but I imagine 2009 and 2014, the T20 wins will be big, and then just your influence and the impact you've had since taking over the captaincy from Peter Barron. But is there anything else that stands out for you?
Thanks for the lovely words first and foremost, but anything that stands out really, I would say more the relationships I've built over the years. That's not just with my own players, but also players I've played against and support staff and whatever. That's been very joyful, because that's, you know, ultimately I guess what it's about. It's the character you become as a person. But in saying that, you know, the 2019 qualifiers, I mean, we went in with quite a bit of pressure, and the way we actually managed to win that with only losing one game, I'm also still quite proud of it. So there's quite a bit of highlights, but yeah, there's the World Cups obviously, and for me personally, I suppose, with the team that we've had, qualifying for that T20 World Cup was quite special too.
Another highlight which I thought you were fantastic in was the World Cricket League Division 1, you know, us winning that, which then led into the World Super League, which has been a bit of a damn squib. But in terms of you staying involved, and like I've said before, and we've spoken at length, you know, your aspirations for this team and for Associate Cricket is inspirational. But sort of where to from here? If you were going to stay involved, I know your direction's toward high performance, but with the way the Super League's panned out, you know, what do you visualize as a good direction to take this group of players now?
I think what's quite important, especially now playing against all the full members, is that all the sort of experience you gain from the Super League should be worth something sort of in the next sort of 2 to 5 years, when, you know, you've got quite a few youngsters who are still teenagers are still playing. Is that I think it's quite important for us to remain one of the top associate sides. So, you know, you can look at trying to look forward, and, you know, you want to be a full member, this and that. I think first and foremost, for us, it's important that with the guys you have that are from the Netherlands and playing and training in the Netherlands, that sort of core group becomes bigger and stronger, and that has got, it's ultimately is what are going to drive this team forward. So in terms of that, I think it's quite important that, like, these guys getting upskilled and up to speed with what it requires, and they've now have only experienced sort of like the cherry on top, you know, playing the full members and, you know, having the crowds around, and everything is great. And, you know, hopefully what I think is important is that they're ready by the time we're back to sort of our associate cricket, and, you know, you play those games in front of 20 people, that we're still as good as we have been in some of these games.
Peter, I mentioned at the beginning there that injury has forced your premature retirement, and you said that one of the reasons, maybe the deciding reason, was when you were finding it difficult to play with your young sons. But how is your health? I didn't mean to be flippant when I said that you look like an old man. You did look very stiff and in a great deal of pain. You going to be all right?
I will be. It's unfortunately an injury that, you know, if it would have taken a surgery or whatever, I would have done that a couple of years ago. But it's unfortunately it's really inside the spine, and you know, it did create cracks, which I don't know what it's called, but the inner sort of core fluid comes out, and where that comes out, obviously I'm, as you've seen now, pretty unable to move. So, and the thing is, like, it's not that I can't play cricket anymore. So I would still stay involved in sort of club cricket and all of that, because I can move, but I think the demands of international cricket and everything that comes with it, the training, and, you know, I'm a type of guy that likes to lead sort of from that aspect as well. I like to train hard and do as much as I can, but if at some stage, you know, you train 3-4 times a week, you play 2-3 games a week, you know, that element has come a bit too much, and I've always felt if you can't give your 100%, you know, then it's not worth playing anymore. And I guess what you said from a personal side of things, when the pain overtakes the enjoyment of playing the game you love, you know, then all of a sudden you look at the game with a bit of, well, not hate, but you're not looking forward to the games because you know how sore you're going to be at the end. And that was ultimately what has decided me to, ultimately why I decided to stop playing.
Matt, it's Ryan again. Yeah, I mean, I saw the pain you were going through in Dubai, and that was, what, 6 months ago, so I can only imagine it's got worse. Get yourself in a nice leather chair in the director's box. You can have a big influence there. I just want to take you back to your last point. And I remember, again, chatting at length to you in South Africa about your vision and sort of the short-term goals. And you were speaking about the focus on the Dutch local players. And at the time, I was like, wow, I can see why you have such an impact. Because in the past, the Dutch have always been, you know, how can we get the county players involved? You know, how can we get as many pros from overseas? And I think these last two series, the West Indies series and this series, no matter what happens in this game, and the fact that you lost the series 3-0 and probably going to lose this one 3-0. Mm-hmm. I think the talent you've unearthed, and certainly guys that are associate cricket level ready, it's been so impressive. I've spoken to Ryan Cook as well, and I thought the performances against the West Indies were really spectacular for that reason. So well done on that again. And just a testament to you, I think, you know, that epitomizes your contribution to Dutch cricket, thinking out of the box and putting a big focus on the guys who have come through the system like yourself. So well done on a really amazing career. Your leadership influence has turned this team around. I love the feel around the place, and I wish you all the best for what comes ahead now, mate.
Thanks, man, but that's just too nice. It's give me a goosebumps, Ryan. You shouldn't do that. That's that's not nice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, I'm now joined by the man that Peter replaced as the Netherlands captain, also Peter Boren. And, you know, all in all, the series has come to an end. Not so successful on the pitch for the Netherlands, but I think very successful in terms of their involvement in cricket.
Well, you've basically nailed it there, because it has been a really good 5 days here in Amstelveen. I reckon a lot of people have had a very good time. And in terms of the facilities, the wicket, the ground itself, and also Amsterdam for the touring, you know, the tourists, I think they've all had a good time. Yeah, as you say, from a Dutch cricketing perspective, a little bit disappointing with the performances, and there's a lot of work to do.
And I think the Barmy Army, as you sort of hinted there, really enjoyed their time in Amsterdam. It seems like it should be a place that England should come more often.
Yeah, I think they'd like to. It's obviously a pretty short flight for them in terms of English tours. They're generally a long way away. This is much easier, isn't it? And we had this, particularly on the Friday and the Sunday, a lot of fans over, and they had an a really good time. For Friday was actually raucous, wasn't it? It was almost, you know, it was on the limit to being out of control. It looked like a lot of fun out there. And, yeah, hopefully, because I think the England team themselves have been impressed with the facilities as well. And if there's any chance of, you know, a couple of match series and every couple of years or whatever it is, I think Amsterdam's a good cricketing tourist destination. Also, the Dutch cricket team is only going to be better from here in terms of the competitiveness on the field, of course, which was a little bit disappointing.
Well, definitely. It's a very young team as well, as Peter was just saying there before. And you know what? You know, England fans have been speaking to me throughout this, and they've been saying that in terms of getting here, getting into the ground, the friendliness of everyone, it's been absolutely fantastic. You've played against England out on the pitch quite famously. What did you make of this England squad?
They're the world champions for a reason, and everyone who's watched them play 50 over cricket over the last 5 years know what they have brought into this series without even, you know, you didn't have to be here or watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio to know what they were going to bring. And particularly given that the wickets were flat, good batting tracks, a lot of power, didn't they? I thought that, you know, probably past scores were higher than what the Dutch were achieving. The Dutch would have been disappointed with the bat, but in the end, it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think, because the power of, you know, that lineup, that English batting lineup, far out there, there was no way. They would have chased down anything. So what they brought was just that sense that there's a lot of people who have been walking around here who I've talked to and who have, you know, amazed at the power game, and we've seen that from England, you know, for the last sort of 5 or 6 years in 50 over cricket, so it's no real surprise.
I also think it's fantastic that behind us now you've got loads of kids, and I know the schools kick out a little bit earlier on a Wednesday here in the Netherlands, so you've got kids there who've got in for free and they're, you know, getting autographs and everything with the England players, but also the Netherlands players as well, which I think is very important. In terms of a player of the series, if you had to pick someone, who would you go for?
For me, I was really impressed with David Willey. I thought he didn't get a bat, but also with the ball, but also in the field. I think he was outstanding in the field. But you can obviously, the top order of England trying to go past Phil Salt, Jason Roy, pretty tough. David Milano, obviously, with 100 in the first game. But for me, the player of the series was Jos Buttler, and it wasn't so much just because of the runs he made, but of course the manner of which he did it. And you can look at on a scorecard and say, well, he's hit a bunch of sixes, but I was lucky enough, and you were lucky enough to be here and see those sixes, and they went an awful, awful long way. And he is, you know, obviously in white ball cricket, possibly the most destructive player in the world right now, and he certainly showed that here, and he would be my player of the series.
And he also had the added responsibility today of being the captain as well. And we need to talk about the captain of the Netherlands. Obviously, Peter just mentioning there why he's retired. You know, the back just, it couldn't go on any longer. You know, we've seen the vice-captain step up. And do you think that he'll be the captain going forward? Should he be the captain going forward?
Oh, well, they've got a couple of options. It will either be Scott Edwards or Buster Leder. Buster Leder's 22. Scott Edwards a little bit older than that. I'm not sure what he is, 27 or so. But probably Edwards is pretty, he's been in very good form, hasn't he? So he's scored a lot of runs in this World Cup Super League against some of the top teams in the world. He's scored a lot of runs. He's probably pretty comfortable where his own game is at, which helps. And I think maybe Buster Leder, who is the most talented player in Holland, still has a fair way to go in terms of learning his game. And given that he, you know, he's a quick bowler, he bowls 140, he has to bat 4 or 5, and he's your number one fielder. It might be just an ask too much for a 22-year-old at the moment. He's probably a future captain of Holland, but for now, probably Scott Edwards.
Well, it seems like the future of Dutch cricket is very, very positive. Peter, thank you very much for being part of this on TalkSport 2 throughout this series. And that means we've come to the end of a fun series here in Amsterdam. We've got more limited overs commentaries coming up, starting with Ireland versus India on Sunday on TalkSport 2. And if you've just stumbled across this podcast, make sure you hit follow or subscribe so we can keep showing up on your podcast app. And don't forget, throughout the Test series, England versus New Zealand, we will round off the day's play every evening on the Following On podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.